pronounce the Bhaktivinoda Thakur on the board. But I'll go through that three times. You can follow, but we'll leave that. Maybe the audience don't need to follow the full sloka, but we'll just go through just to say his pronouns together.
Namo Bhaktivinodaya. Satchidananda Namine. Gaura Shakti Swarupaya. Rupanuga Varayate. Namo Bhaktivinodaya. Satchidananda Namine. Gaura Shakti Swarupaya. Rupanuga Badayate. Namo Bhaktivinodaya. Satchidananda Namine. Gaura Shakti Sarupaya. Rupanuga Badayate.
I offer my obeisances unto you, O Bhaktivinoda. You are the form of eternality, knowledge, and bliss, the incarnation of Gaura's potency, and the best of the followers of Rupa Goswami. We will repeat that together. I offer my obeisances unto you. O Bhaktivinoda, you are the form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, the incarnation of Gaura's potency, and the best of the followers of Rupa Goswami.
Om Ajnati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Malitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Panchakalpatribhyascha Kripashanda Vyayvacha Patitanam Havanidhyo Vaishnavedhyo Namo Namaha.
Hare Krishna. So very special day. Every day. Every day this week, something special. Gets more and more boiling the milk. So every day. So this day, I'm hoping, they say the Father, he can be merciful. And then the grandfather, he's even more merciful. So Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. What about the great-grandfather? I'm hoping that he'll cover me with the dust. There's dust on this day. I'm begging for his mercy to say something worthy in his honor. I wanted to continue a little bit from where Jnanivas left off, because I thought he made a very good point yesterday in his class about the mood and not reading other literatures, or being careful what we read. Once Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he told a story, very interesting. He told a story about a king who kept horses. Kings have animals. He had horses, sheep, and he even kept some monkeys. So, and he, of course, he had some children. Kings that have family, wives of their children. So he kept the monkeys because it would entertain the children. And the sheep also, children like to watch monkeys laughing, and so he kept those monkeys in his kingdom. And he also kept some sheep because the children, they like to ride the sheep. They get on, hold on to the wool, and ride the sheep. And of course, kings have horses. He's a raja, so he's involved in battle. He had horses. So there was one of the monkeys. He was very wise. I'm not comparing you to a monkey, Jnanivas. But the wisdom of one monkey was there. And that monkey, he was hearing some great sages. He knew the line of knowledge, Chanakya Pandit, he used to listen to many sages and rishis. So that one monkey, he was telling the other monkeys, we should be careful in this kingdom. Because that sheep, there's one sheep out of the flock of sheep, he likes to go in and he likes to steal from the kitchen. He goes into the where they're cooking and he steals from the kitchen. And the cook, he'll chase the sheep with a stick. So he'll grab the first stick he sees convenient. So of course, he may grab a stick with a fire on the stick from cooking. So he'll chase the sheep. Now that sheep catches on fire, that sheep will catch on fire, then it might run outside and there's a good chance it'll go to the nearest building, which is the horse stable. And to put the fire out, he'll roll on the straw. He'll roll on the grass. And put the fire out, it's on fire. The wool is burning. So when he rolls on the straw, the stable will go up in flames. And the good chance are horses, you know, for a Raj, for a king, to have horses, elephants. It's very important. So he said, the horses will be incinerated or burnt. And I know from the Shastras of Medicine, the monkey said, he said that monkey fat, the tallow of monkeys, is recommended for putting on, for appeasing the burns of a horse. So the other monkeys, they heard his story. They heard his story and they thought, oh, this is a pretty far-fetched story. Why would he say to do this? Why? What is that wisdom? So he said, I'm going to go to the forest and live a life of seclusion. I'll just go and eat berries in the forest like a monkey should. And the other monkey said, we're happy in the kingdom, isn't it? We're being fed by the king. He's giving us nice prasad, isn't it? Therefore, we don't want to go to the forest. And so he went alone. And sure enough, the sheep went into the kitchen. Was chased by the cook. The cook chased with a wooden stick on fire. The sheep came burning to the stables, rolled in the straw. The horses were burnt. And according to the medicine given by the veterinary, medicinal people there in India. So they collected the monkeys. All the monkeys were killed. Those young monkeys that stayed in the kingdom, they were killed. And they used the tallow of the monkey for putting out the pain of the horses. So we have to listen, isn't it? We have to listen to what's being said. If we're younger, we may be bewildered sometimes by what wisdom is there. But I'm also begging on this day because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he produced 100 books, more than 100 books from about all different levels of bhakti. Some of them were novels, some of them were confidential literatures, some of them were shastra, praman, and very deep esoteric topics like Shikshamrita and Jiva Dharma, these books he's famous for. They are available in the marketplace. And, of course, they are meant to be read, but at the right place and the right time and under the right guidance of some wise monkeys, wiser monkeys, we can enter that realm. Prabhupada, he gives us some permission. We can also enter the shastras of the six Goswamis and we can enter topics. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote these beautiful books that are available. So I wanted to touch on a topic today concerning Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's the next day. We have Bhaktivinoda Thakur and we also have, it's the beginning of Holy Name Week. It's not by coincidence. So we'll try and cover two in one. So we see in the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, when you look at the history of a great soul, when you look at the history of these great saints and sages or Goswamis, one may find the material, external history, family lineage. One may find some inebrieties. One may find some interesting information. But we also have to look at the spiritual lineage, which is the main thing, the internal family lineage of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. which is suggested in his pranams here. And of course, we're reading from some beautiful books about how Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his internal family lineage, the spiritual side of him, he's coming from Krishna's realm. He's entered the most intimate leela of Radha Krishna, and he's a Manjari, Kamala Manjari. So this is only known to the privacy of his family. You don't tell everything to everybody. It confuses many people. But he's Kamala Manjari. He's he's serving Sri Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, in the service of Radha Krishna. And he's now no older than 12 and a half years old. And his place of pastimes is Swananda Sukhada Kunj, which he replicated here, which is in here, not he didn't replicate, it's here in the Holy Dharma of Mayapur in Godhrum Dweep. And there he serves Rupa Goswami in the service of Radha Krishna and the perfection of their worship. And he wears, he's the color of lightning, and he wears a dress the color of the deep blue night sky, which is full of stars. He has stars. There's a very beautiful description is there of, there are some other slokas. He indicates in his verses his own identity. That's there. But then if we look at his material lineage, then we see, like many great devotees, Namacharya Sita Haridas Thakur, like Sri Prahlad, like Dhruva, like so many, even the life of Lord Ram, we look in the material background, we find a lot of amazing material things, which are quite astounding also. The reality is he grew up at a time when the British were in power in India. So he grew up in a family, they were worshippers of Kali. His mother in particular, they were worshipping, they were Shaktas, which is very prominent in West Bengal. And he has fond memories as a child. He remembers being born in such a family, very wealthy. His maternal side of his family, his mother's side, was extremely wealthy. They had many servants, they had elephants, they had horses, and they were landowners. And he was born in Olna in 1883. This is the time when the British rule was going on. And so, but if we look into his life, it's very interesting. His struggle to become a devotee was quite an amazing situation. He began his search philosophically when he was very young. At the age of 2, he wrote a small poem at 2 years old. And it was accepted by quite learned people in society as being a beautiful philosophical poem at the age of 2. And his schooling was with the British. But he has some interesting memories of a child, of the worship of Kali that was going on. Like his family would bring in the big form of Kali. She would take like 18 Brahmins to lift that and carry that in. So he started questioning. His philosophical questions were very early. He would go and see the form of Lord Shiva, and he got to that as a small boy, and he would touch it, and he would like quite affectionately, and then he would run away, and he was thinking, is Lord Shiva in there? And he would start questioning, how is this form? This form of Lord Shiva, what is this? He would touch it. He would even think, I'll be a little disrespectful just to see if I can get some response. Maybe Lord Shiva, he'll chase me. Like that. And even philosophically, as a small child, he would see the moon in the sky. Sometimes he would see the moon full as a small boy. And another time he would see half moon or a sickle moon. And he thought, oh, they're putting different moons. Different moons are going there. So he was asking his mother, how come today's a full moon? He was looking at the phases of the moon at very young age, most of us don't even notice there is a moon. He was looking at the phase of the moon and he was questioning his mother about the different, how it comes, small, sometimes big. And of course he questioned many people, and he would spend time with his servants and with his family. And sometimes they were Muslims, and sometimes they were people of Christian origin. And so he would pick up different understandings of God from the Christian side. He would pick up something from the Muslim people also. For instance, one Muslim man, he was asking who was God to the servants. So he asked one particular servant who was a guard of the treasury in his family house. He asked him, who is the supreme being? And first he asked the carpenter, actually. He got friendly with a carpenter who was working in his family home. And the carpenter was building Durga for him. So he asked the carpenter, what time does she enter? And this is a question that could go to the deity worship department. At what particular stage will the deity, will the Mataji come and enter the form? You know, I've seen it's made of straw, it's made of clay, it's then put chalk on the top and then paint. At what particular time will she enter? And the carpenter said, oh, when they put the eyes on. They put the eyes on. So when he put the eyes on, he thought, he's made sure he was there on that day to see the eyes go on the Murti. He thought, oh, now she's going to come, look out, I'm ready. As a small boy, 4 or 5 years old. And then, of course, he put the eyes on and she didn't really animate. And he started to think, well, what is happening? Then he asked the Brahman, what time will she enter? He was asking around, when will the deity? He was wanting to see life. This is the indication of somebody from a previous, you know, where he's coming from. And then one day he asked the Muslim man, who was God? And the Muslim gentleman, he said, oh, God was one and his name was Khoda. Khoda. And K-H-O-D-A. Khoda. The one. He's one God. He's only one. And you get a ball of mud and you roll it up and you throw it in the water. It's coming off the body of that Khoda. And you roll it up and you throw it in the water, and the top half of that boil of that ball that's taken off the body, the form, that becomes the sky, and the bottom half becomes the land. And then this Muslim gentleman, he introduced some Christian life. He said, oh, and then Adam and Eve are there. So he was questioning so many different schools of thought. And one particular time in life, he thought, I like this Christian philosophy very much, because his teachers were coming from the British. He was educated at British schools. So in one sense, they didn't really know at that time, but just like a tree, you make a handle for the axe is made from the tree. Handle from the axe, so the axe is there, but the handle is made from the tree. So from the British, he learned how to speak very fine English, and he learned also how to write. Of course, it was coming from previous life, but he became very renowned amongst the British community for his writings and his poetry. And they would also have great respect for his scholarship. But like that, he became like an axe. It cut away this understanding of material life, which comes from Western countries like Britain, America, Australia, like that, England. So, because he became, what was his real significance, the real important part of his life was that there was a dark period in the period of Vaishnava culture from the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's departure. 3 or 4 dark periods were there. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very famous for re-establishing the correct Vaishnava culture. Vaishnava culture was at that particular time the intelligentsia, the well-to-do, the wealthy, the intelligent people of Calcutta and Bengal. They became disgusted with the many upper sampradayak sahaja groups who were cheaply imitating Gauranga Leela. They were turning into Ras Leela, and so Vaishnavism had become covered. So he was famous for re-establishing vigilantly the culture of true Vaishnava culture. And at that particular time, the history, the climatic, or the history, human history, was that that Vaishnava culture was being kept in the hearts of bhajan, in the internal mood of some very exalted bhajan, babajis, who were living in Godrum. And of course, we know those to be Gokishore Das Babaji and Jagannath Das Babaji. So, if we look at it in a pictorial way, we can see Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was like a bowman. If you see Arjuna holding the bow, he was like the bow. And the arrow was his son. He had a son, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, the ray of Vishnu, who was born in his home in Jagannath Puri. And at the time of his birth, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur had this umbilical cord was wrapped around his body like a Brahmin. These signs were there. And his son he called Bimal Prasad. And that son was like the shaft of the arrow. He's called a ray of Vishnu also. He was like the shaft of the arrow. And then the direction which was given by his Shiksha Gurus, the Shiksha line coming from Jagannath Das Babaji and Gokishore Das Babaji, took instruction from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They had a friendship and exchange, but largely he was taking instruction from Jagannath Das Babaji, who spent 6 months in Vrindavan and 6 months in Navadvip. So the two feathers, or the feathers on the arrow, were coming from this lineage of bhajan babajis who were holding within their hearts the fire of Vaishnava culture. So then Bhakti Siddhanta is the shaft, then who would we see as the tip of the arrow? He made a prediction. Bhaktivinoda Thakur made a prediction that one day there would be a great Vaishnava. Even scripturally that's recorded, Shainapati Bhakta would come. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave a prediction that this great Vaishnava would come. That is the tip of the arrow. That's our Srila Prabhupada. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sent the arrow. He was the first one to send literary information to the Western world. This is another of his glories. He was writing scholarly literatures on the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So those life and teachings, he sent a small book to McGill University in Canada. So the desire of our parampara is going back to the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he desired a son who could also come and continue on with his services. But looking at his life, we see, even if we just look on a local scene, we see two different aspects of his life that are eminent. He first took up land at Sarabi Kunj. We know that Godrum Dwip means go the cow, and Drum means under the tree. We know that place was the place of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he started the Namhatta. Namhatta preaching, which is so powerful today. So I wanted to, I've never done this before. So excuse me, I'm not a musician or a scholar. But Kush, could you hand out some of these to everybody? I want to try and sing a song. If it, if you give one to me also. So he, in this place, he started the Namhatta preaching. So there are two different aspects of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu we see. We see on one side is, of course, there's five different aspects, but prominent are his Kirtan, Sankirtan, two different aspects of Vaishnava culture there. Sankirtan, which means Harinam Sankirtan, preaching, books, spreading, teaching. And Rasavadan. Rasavadan means appreciating the moods. So in Sarabi Kunj, his first place of purchasing some land as a middle-aged person, he opened... Can somebody turn this fan off? So the paper doesn't fly. I thought by singing one of his songs, we could imbibe the mood, because this is also Holy Name Week. Sorry? Read, we should read the translation first. Okay, we'll read the translation first. Nice suggestion by Harinama Chargini. Okay, so the translation to this song, many of you will know it, probably a lot more than me. It's called Borosuku Kabugai. And the translation, I am singing news of the greatest happiness at the place known as Sarabi Kunj in Navadvip. The marketplace of the holy name has now been opened, and Lord Nityananda himself is the proprietor. Such wonderful things are going on in that blissful marketplace. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is selling the pure holy name wholesale, nearly for the price of one's faith. Seeing the assembly of devotees eagerly awaiting to purchase the name, Lord Nityananda first examines each of them to test their qualification. Then he sells them the name by bargaining for his price accordingly. My dear friends, if you really want to buy the pure holy name, then just come along with me, for I am now going to meet with this Nityananda Mahajan. Thus you will finally be able to acquire the pure holy name. I'll also take my due commission, and in this way all three of us will fulfill our desires. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is so extraordinarily merciful. Accepting only one's faith in the holy name, he bestows the topmost divine bliss. When Nittai sees a tear welling in someone's eye upon chanting the name of Gaura, 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 Hare Krishna, he instantly gives his support. So that person indeed, he bestows all divine opulences. He gives that person genuine realization of the pure teachings of Sri Krishna as found in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. While displaying all this inconceivable mercy, he pays no attention to one's caste, material wealth, mundane knowledge, or physical ability. Now, dear friends, please reject all of Maya's entangling sneers. If you are a householder, then just remain at your home. If you are renounced, then just live in the forest. Either way, nothing more will trouble you. We no longer need to fear the terrible age of quarrel, for the most merciful Lord Nityananda gives the holy name to anyone and everyone, even to the lowest among men. Bhaktivinod loudly calls out and proclaims to all, other than the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, there is no shelter. Bhaktivinod Thakur. So you'll have to be patient with me. I'm not a musical person. I'm not scholarly. But I'm going to take a risk. I'll take a risk, but I'm dependent on your mercy. You can... Okay, we'll sing this together. Borosuku Kabugai, Dalia Gita, the song of the broker.
Borosuko kabogai, borosuko kabogai, surabe kunjabe namahate kuleche, surabe kunjabe namahate kuleche. Koda Nitai, Koda Nitai, Koda Mujo Kato Tai, Koda Mujo Kato Tai, Shadda Mule Sudde Nam Sehate Tevikai. Shade mulle viknam se te vikam. Koda nitai, koda nitai. Jatavakta vrindavasi, jatavakta vrindavasi, jatavakta vrindavasi. Adhikari deko naam vichita dokashi. Adhikari deko naam vichita dokashi.
Harikare dekha naam beche to dokashe.
Kodanitai, kodanitai.
Jadunama kindu bai, jadunama kindu bai, jadunama kindi bai.
Ama sange chalama jana katte jai.
Ama sange chalama jana katchu jai.
Kodanitai, kodanitai.
Tumkimbu Krishna nam, tumikimbe Krishna nam, tumikimbe Krishna nam, tumikimbe Krishna nam.
Dasto vloide ami pura habe ayekama.
Astore la iba ami purna habe kama.
Doya Nityananda
Sadamatcha Loyenden Padamadananda
Sadamatcha Loyenden Padamadananda
Krishna Sikha, Dena Sudha Krishna Sikha, Dena Sudha Krishna Sikha,
Jatirana Vidya Bala Na Kore Apeksha,
Jatirana Vidya Bala Na Kore Apeksha.
Take na take ganga,
kya take banana take na take ganga,
thank you.
koeba bhakti vinoda daki koe nittai charana bina nahi aashay nittai charana bina nahi
So we're in the marketplace. Recently I was in Assam and I don't know how to sing. I'm useless. But we went into the marketplace with us carrying this product, the holy name. And I thought, well, we'll try and open the door. Open the market, you know. So just one or two madmen there and we had this product. But we had the topmost product. Our topmost product. So we started, you know, started singing this holy name in the jungle, in the forest where the villages are. And nobody was coming. No buyers were there for the holy name. So we were chanting some madness tune, not Bengali, Bhav. Something was coming out. We were singing at the top of the lungs, you know, when you're in the mountains or in the forest, you don't really care. So we let go. And then we walked down this long path and we turned around. There were hundreds of people. They were too shy to come, but when we turned around, oh, I saw hundreds of people. You know, their villages, their families, their children. So when we went back down the path, just grass, no cars. We went back down the path, they all joined. We had this big Harinam. And this is the, we have the product, isn't it? And we open our business in the market. We are the best product, but there's not enough sellers. There's not enough salesmen. So many people were there in every village. So many, there wasn't enough salesmen. My realization about traveling around and meeting the people and being outside, going outside to preach, there's not enough salespeople. So many people want to buy. You just open that package, even in the middle of Kolkata. You open the package, just start singing some funky tune and do a little jive, dance a little bit, and all the buyers, they're all there. They're ready. They want to buy, but we're not selling enough. So here's a beautiful song, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in the Surabhi Kunj, underneath the desire tree, Surabhi Kunj. From there he started. He called himself the sweeper. The sweeper in Lord Nityananda, and the treasury was Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And for a price of a little faith, tiny little bit of faith, then they get the access to the treasure, you know, the Srimad Bhagavat, Bhagavat Purana, and they get the access to Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavat Purana. So that was one side of Bhakti Vinod Thakur's life. Then he bought some more land. He bought some more land further up. He bought Swananda Sukada Kunj. This is the, he established there beautiful worship of Gogaradha. Gai Gogaradha. So that is a very, so we see these two aspects of Vaishnava culture. Sankirtan. If you really want to become pleasing to the heart of, you want to become Gaura Priya, you want to become very dear to the heart of Gauranga, then you push with these two different things, Rasapadan and Sankirtan. Sankirtan means to give out the holy name, to give out the knowledge, to preach, to teach, and to speak from the books on knowledge. And Rasapadan means to go internal. So this mood of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we also see the end of his life, and he's showing us through all his books and information how we can also go inside. And go inside means we can form a relationship with Krishna. We have our own personal relationship with Krishna, and our japa is like our bhajan. You know, we have our Krishna, we have our own Krishna, and that's very special. Not everybody has to know who that is. Whatever that relationship is, that's very private. That's our internal. This is our internal life. This is our bhajan life. So on one side we have Lord Nityananda, on the other side we have Gadadhar Pandit, who is in one sense a representative of Radharani. In other places she's described to be part also Lalita. When Gauranga takes on the mood of Radharani, then she becomes Lalita. Gadadhar Pandit is a mystical magic. And when she takes on the Rasaraj Gauranga form, then she takes on the mood of Radharani. So, but to understand this very deep topic, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he entered a phase in his life where he was deep in bhajan, finding out, of course, he was showing us how we can also find out what is our relationship with Krishna. And then, of course, he wrote hundreds of songs. He wrote hundreds of books, hundred books. And so we can go there today. We'll be inspired to go there, to be at that particular place and think we're in Lalita's Kunj. That was the mood of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In this mood of worshipping, Gaura Gadadhar is a very mystical, very difficult to understand, very esoteric topic. But by chanting, by approaching through Vaidhi Bhakti, then Krishna will open the heart, and eventually rag will come to us. Rati, rag will come to us. Bhav will come to us. It's our rightful claim. This is what all the Goswamis are saying. This will come naturally. We don't have to endeavor for that separately. We don't have to, if you like, we just keep on the path, and in this marketplace of the holy name, we spread the preaching. Then Krishna will, from within our heart, he'll reveal, with good japa, he'll reveal our personal relationship with Krishna. And with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, that was very intimate. And with the line of our acharyas, that's also very intimate, Leela. But we see in the lives of the Goswamis, they have a sadaka roop, where they're expressing their devotion through Vaidhi Bhakti, all the normal processes of chanting, going around Govardhan, paying their obeisances. And then they have an internal life of a Siddhasurup, where they're in their manjari forms. But that is a private, that's a private thing. The other is a public thing. Sankirtan is a public thing. It's exhibited in public, and it attracts the souls of this material world. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he established other things to his fame. We'll speak for a little longer because there's no breakfast today. Is that okay? And it's a special day. Can I? So you have no excuse to leave the room. Even it's dry information. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he established the yoga pit. This is the most amazing thing. He did many things. One time from the town of Navadvip, he was standing on the veranda of a guest house, and he looked over, and this story is very well known. He saw an effulgence in this eastern bank, and he knew that Gauranga, he took birth on the eastern bank, so he was a little bit doubtful that Gauranga appeared in Navadvip. Of course, everybody, if there's a saint born, they want it to be in my town, because then it'll bring business, it'll bring interest to your town. You'll also find on the other side of the Ganga, there is a place where they worship the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. But actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he became vigilant in establishing the birth site of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And whatever he did, because he was a pure devotee, was confirmed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when he came to that place where the Muslims and the local Hindus were saying, oh, you know, they were indicating there's a mound of tulsis, Balagachi or Baladigi it was called. This place had a mound of tulsis. He had the vision, and he also had Jagannath Das Babaji with him, who was at the time the most exalted Vaishnava on the planet. And he could see that this was the place. And as soon as Jagannath Das Babaji was, like, he was described to be 6 feet tall, I believe. But because he was in an old body, he was, you know, he looked like ash. But underneath there was a burning coal, ash covering that coal. He was a burning coal. He, as a 100-year-old, he would dance. As a 100-year-old man, he could dance like a madman. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very impressed by him because even as an old man, he had so much energy to dance. We see some of our Thakurs and Thakurinis also like that. People think, why, how come they're dancing? They're so old. He would dance and he would... So when he came to the site of this Baladigi, this mound of tulsi leaves, he leapt in the air. I don't know, I read in one book that it was 15 feet. That's higher than this ceiling, isn't it? So I don't know whether that's an exaggeration or maybe it's for real. And so amazing, he was so enthused. And then the confirmation came later when Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, we established that site, he got maps and he got various opinions, historical, geographical maps, because he was involved as a high court judge. He established the birth site of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then the real confirmation came. They founded Hoksaja Vishnu, which I went to see yesterday to pray. Small at Hoksaja Vishnu, very beautiful. They found that there as the deity, worshipful deity of Jagannath Mishra. And then he established in Calcutta the Vaishnava Sabha Raj, which is like the background to Gaudiya Math. His son Bhakti Siddhanta established the Gaudiya Math and the Chaitanya Math. That was his. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur started with his Vaishnava Sabha Raj and a place called Bhakti Bhavan in Calcutta. He bought some property, and there he found a small deity of Korma. When they were excavating the foundations, again a confirmation from Krishna, he was starting this whole concept of spreading Vaishnavism in a pure, healthy way, and he found the deity of Korma, who is the most primeval form, who is holding up the universe. He gave that deity to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and he also showed him how to worship that form. And also carrying with himself, he had the deity of Jagannath Das Babaji, gave him his Govardhan Shila. So he had the Govardhan Shila, so he was very empowered spiritually. So he established the yoga pit. And then, I'm amazed if you go along, he had a dream that was coming to him, because he came in a family of Shaivites. His name was Kedarnath. Kedarnath is in the Himalayas. It's one of the Jyotirlingams. So his parents named all the children. Kedarnath was the name of a Shiva, former Shiva in the Himalayas. But a dream came to him while he was in Bengal. I think, now I will retire at 50 years old. I'll now go to Vrindavan, like many of us may think. We'll do that. We have some ideas. But actually, Lord Shiva came to him in a dream. Not insignificant. Get a spiritual dream, that's considered. We have to follow that with sincerity. In the dream it said, who will Rupan Sanatan have uncovered the holy dams of Braj? But if you come to Vrindavan, who will uncover the holy sites of Navadvip? Who will show to the people all the sites of Navadvip, all these different ghats and pastimes? And in the dream he was said that Praudamaya and Yogamaya, they need to again be re-established. And then Mayapur Dham would come up. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur took that to heart, and that's when he came and bought those Swananda Sakanda Kunj, That's when he started began establishing. Now, as we go up the road, we see when he established the yoga pit, then immediately to put his mark on the map, because he had influence in political affairs, then he established the Mayapur post office. It's Mayapur. Put in the flag, you know, here's the post office, you know. Even today, you go, it's a beautiful post office painted bright yellow with a red, you know, red, and it's got Sri Mayapur post office. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he established that so they couldn't argue, well, this is Mayapur, you know. So Navadvip is Navadvip, this is Mayapur. So he was very intelligent materially, and they built the railway line for him. He said, I will leave, I want to retire. And they said, you can't retire. You know, you saw the British, he was so esteemed in the British community. He would deal with 30 cases of law between like 10:30 in the morning and 11:30 in the day. He would deal with 30 cases of law. He would dismiss what it took a British lawyer or a court of law to deal with like 4 or 5 hours. He would deal within 15 to 20 minutes. So he would deal with 30 cases of law in the morning sometimes at his work. So they were very attached to him. He said, when I retire, well, they thought, no, you can be a magistrate, but you can be in Krishnanagar. And then they built a train line, this small gauge train line, which came past his house. And now they're gonna build a main gauge going all the way to Vrindavan. Isn't that something? I don't know, something they're talking. They're gonna put a main gauge which connecting Mayapur. So this is it's coming to his door. It's coming to the door of his. And from that place, from the veranda of that place, then he saw the effulgence of Sridhar Mayapur at what some writers and philosophers, they say he saw what is being built at present. Some people accept that this effulgence was a big building that would be built. And he also had a vision. He also had he could see into the future. He said, when will that day come when the Bengalis will dance with the Videshis? I don't know, some devotee says, a very historical moment when the two oceans met on Parikrama. And the Bengalis were all of a sudden very ecstatic with the Westerners, you know, Americans and English. And now, his prediction, now we have the Chinese marrying the Bengalis. And the Russians, you know, it's all the Khichri, the international ISKCON Khichri is going on. So this is the glory of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He could see, of course we could talk for him for a long time. There's one or two other things I wanted to mention. Perhaps you could read just a little bit. I'll read just a little bit from this book, so it's not all my speculative prattle. Of course, in this sloka, Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Namine Ghora Shakti Swarupaya, it is addressing his intimacy and his inclination, his rightful position in Siddha Sarup as serving in Lalita Shakti's grove. Guru Shakti in Gauranga's pastimes means Gadadha. He was a worshipper of Gaur Gadadha, and he established Lakshmi Priya and Vishnu Priya alongside Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the birth site, at the yoga pit. But he also left the world. When he left the world, he left on the appearance day of Gadadha Pandit. Left on that particular day, so as often said, when they come and when they appear is also very disappear is very significant. So that's the time that he left, showing, leaving a signature where he went. So that's very special. I just wanted to read one or two that were quite not so well known pastimes. If you don't mind, you can leave if you wish. Otherwise, we can hear some more about that. He was not frightened of accosting. He wasn't frightened of accosting miscreants. So this is called the royal conspiracy. This was an attempt made on the life of Thakur Bhaktivinod by the Raja of Puri in 1874. 80,000 rupees were misappropriated from the Jagannath temple by the king. Thakur Bhaktivinod learned of this and punished the king by obliging him to offer Lord Jagannath Navedya, cooked food, 52 times per day. Bhaktivinod Thakur, he established the cooking of the chapan bhog, 52 times. That was his establishment. He said to the king, you have to offer. This is your punishment. The Raja's treasury was soon depleted, and in anger, he decided to avenge himself by assassinating the Thakur. The Thakur's position, by this time, he had been promoted and given the full powers of a magistrate with specific responsibility for the Jagannath temple, was very strong, and he was popular and famous in the district. Thus, as he would have immediately been arrested, the Raja should not risk killing him for ordinary means. The king therefore organized a secret fire sacrifice in the inner apartments of the palace with 50 pundits in attendance chanting mantras with the intention of killing the Thakur by mystic influence. Although all of this was conducted with the utmost secrecy, still information of the king's activities was daily passed to Thakur by informants. After 30 days of yajna sacrifice, when the last oblation of clarified butter was being poured onto the fire, Thakur Bhaktivinod was to have died. Instead, at that very moment, the Raja's dear and only son perished within the palace. In recalling this period in the autobiography, the Thakur mentions it indirectly. The king and other persons connected with the temple used to commit many illegal acts. I would go there to prevent all such things, and thus made enemies of the king and the king's men, because I was helped by Lord Jagannath. No one was able to harm me in any way. So it's a beautiful something of his struggle. I'll just read this last, people may be restless, I'll read this last piece of information here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the land of Bharatvash, specifically in Bengal, in the district of Nadia, where Navadvip is situated. It is therefore to be concluded, as stated by Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that within this universe, the earth is the best planet. And on this planet, the land of Bharatvash is the best. In the land of Bharatvash, Bengal is still better. In Bengal, the district of Nadia is still better. And in Nadia, the best place is Navadvip, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared there to inaugurate the performance of the sacrifice of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Thank you for staying and listening. I hope we hear more pastimes from the exalted Vaishnavas. We should all go to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Svananda Sakanda Kuj and hear from the seniors. Dance and chant and take prasadam. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Ah, right. 18. What is it? Yeah, no, I don't think that's correct. That was just from my memory. No, it's wrong. It's about 18. We'll look that up. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. We have some more holy name classes for the next few days, isn't it? How many days? 10 days. We'll be hearing the class in woven into the class, like Tulsi into a garland, a flower garland, will be the holy name. So come eagerly to hear about the holy name for the next 10 days. Holy Name Week, Aki. Jai.